Gimmick?
Just what gimmick?
Just kidding.
Go. Oh, just for appearances? Appearances matter because, you know, we're still... I wonder what people envision us to look like if they've never seen us before, and if...
Probably two handsome faggots.
And I wonder just how off the mark we actually are when they see us in person. You're like, oh.
Not off the mark at all.
Oh,
you should have recorded that.
I did.
That was...
I did. Welcome to the show, bitches.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Let's go to work.
Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
You have cold opening?
We're going to town. Town.
Podcast, how you guys doing?
Welcome to Poundtown. Yeah, awesome. Social
Nuisance!
Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Poundtown!
Hell fucking yeah, man. Feeling good, yep. Feeling right. Hello, welcome to this Ultra Nuisance Podcast presented by Stars and Street Lamps, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us that 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Poundtown grow, and get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor. We'll advertise or shout out whatever the fuck you want just by dropping $1 on our Venmo. You know, technically, Venmo is at Social Nuisance. Technically, being a short sponsor is cheaper than most vending machine items nowadays.
Is that for real?
At least the one at work is. I go up, I have a dollar. I'm like, fuck yeah, I got a dollar from the vending machine. I roll up. And then I look at like everything. I'm like, that looks pretty good. Oh, that.
You know what I have noticed?
And she's like $1.25, $1.50, and she was like $2.
Yeah, but if you use your card, it never works the first 3 times. And then you get your statement back, and it's like, you bought 18 Dr. Peppers. No, I didn't.
I'm going to combat that.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I'm not a diabetic.
Challenge. My name's Imagine.
Yeah.
And joining me as always, the man on the moon, Motion.
That's me.
Coming to you live from the moon. That should just be the ongoing gimmick from now on.
That should be it. We should just put a bubble on my head. Yeah, it's just because you know what, dude? I'm going to be 2,000 miles away.
What's it like?
If you went straight up, it'd be the moon, right? The moon is like 2,000 miles away, right?
Oh, that's a great point.
I think it is.
From the International Space Station, coming to you live.
Yeah, and you know what?
The only man ever to be kicked off Earth by collective vote, Motion.
While I make this argument, knowledge is not linear.
Oh.
You know, concepts are not linear.
Right.
And I am not linear.
Okay, well.
Though I am 2,000 miles away in a line.
Well, distance between here and the moon is 238,900 miles.
230. Oh, so I'm only 236,000 miles off.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
I did see. Yeah, same. Same, but different.
But still same.
Same. I did see. Did you see? It kind of went viral like 2 weeks ago. It was a graphic dramatization of how big the sun is to the Earth.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
The dramatization from...
Yeah, it was like this new graphic. Like, it just... I feel like it was pretty recent.
Right.
But, like, the Earth started as this cool thing, you know, like a bottle cap. And it just kept spacing out. And then as it got, 1,000 times apart, it got kind of dark. And it was a little bit of orange. As it got 10,000, you know, times apart...
Yeah.
The orange got a little bit red. As it got 100,000 times apart, you're like, oh, there's a fire back there. And it's got like a million times apart. You're just like, oh, that's the sun.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
About that. I hate videos like that. I don't know. They freak me the hell out. It just makes me feel so insignificant. They just keep zooming out.
I knew that was the I word you were going for. But that's not true, Imagine.
Why is
that? Because you're significant to me, sir.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Yeah, we're all insignificant, dude. We're just fucking specks on a fucking... Can you imagine the beach? All the little pieces of sand thinking they mattered.
They do.
No, they don't. No, they don't, dude.
Yeah, videos like that, man, you're just so large. You're just like, holy shit, like, we are so small. And it really does make you feel insignificant. I mean, you're like...
Yeah, we are, man. Hey, man, dude, you know what? Can I tell you something?
What's that?
You really unlocked a mystery to the universe.
You don't mean shit.
But while we're being serious, if I may ask a quick question, and it's serious.
Oh, okay. Aren't all your questions serious?
No, no. Most of my questions are
just silly geese.
Insignificant.
Okay, got you. Okay, this serious one. Question. Got it.
I was thinking about this the other day. All right. So, you know, like when prescriptions, medicine have their commercials. I literally saw this in a commercial the other day. It said, if you had a fatal or dire reaction to this medicine, please don't take it. And then it listed the other side effects. First of all, if you had a fatal reaction, you wouldn't be able to take it again. And if you had a dire reaction, you wouldn't need the idiot in the commercial to tell you to not take it again. But here's my question.
Okay.
Why do we accept that medication can so randomly be fatally detrimental?
Yeah.
And no other products. You can't buy a car and they go, hey, man, 1 out of 1,000 people buy this car, explode. You can't go to Burger King and get a Whopper. Yeah. Go, hey, man, 1 out of 1,000 people buy this Whopper, die. Like, it's only medication. We literally allow medication to sell a shit that comes with a disclaimer that says it might kill you. Sprite doesn't come with that. Dr. Pepper doesn't come with that. How heavy is the lobbying that medication can literally say, hey, you might die?
Well, you could immediately just blame it on the lobbyists and the pharmaceutical industry for tipping the scale. But maybe you could also, you know, place the argument is the greater good argument. It's like, okay, well, you know, you might die, but you also might be cured of your ailment.
Yeah, no, but that we don't do that with hunger.
What, you might die from hunger?
No, we're going to cure your hunger, but you might die from the snack. It's not that. It's the opposite. It's like literally, like, they will issue this and hopefully, like, you feel better, but most, like, you might die.
You might get dead.
All right, well, then here's my next question. What other product has that authority or that freedom
to tell you that you might die by using it?
Skateboards, probably, right?
McDonald's, like,
you might
land
a kickflip, but you might also fucking snap your leg in half.
I mean, technically, you could do that with everything. I mean, if you get in this car right now, you might get in a car accident, which is like the number three leading cause of death.
No, but that's, you might fuck up, or someone around you might fuck up.
Well, the pharmaceutical industry might fuck up. But it's not the
car fucking up.
Well, sometimes it is.
Because, not really. The brakes are out. When we're growing up, you got to fucking recall. But, like, it's not saying, like, obviously, if you take too many pills, you fucked up. You'll die. But I'm saying you take one pill, you die. You start this car, you die. Like, it's just, is there not, I know we're being contrarians, but is there not something else in this planet that reflects that, like, hey, dude, there's no other warnings. Nothing, like, even cigarettes come with less warnings.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
I've always wanted to, like, I always found that the pharmaceutical commercials, like on TV or even the radio, they're just so, like, a laundry list of all the things that might go possibly wrong.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to start a YouTube channel where you take those commercials and you let them do the actual marketing segment. But once they get into the side effects and, oh, be sure to contact your doctor. All that shit. To either mute it or to put on a different, like, song in the background, just to illustrate, like, how long or how great a percentage of the commercial is dedicated to fucking side effects.
But this is my point. We're so adjusted to that part.
Yeah, I know.
That no other product has that part. But you and I, when we hear, like, Levitro, and I don't even know if that's a thing.
It very well could be.
Yeah, or even what I don't know what the one with the moth, like the sleeping pill. And we, we know it's a pharmaceutical commercial, because when they go, but we don't accept that with Del Taco, McDonald's, even Marlboro. I don't think they're allowed to have commercials anymore. And actually, I think we're inching towards getting rid of pharmaceutical commercials. But what I just meant was, I literally heard a commercial the other day that said, if you've had a fatal experiment with this or a fatal dose of this, don't take it again. And it was on TV, and I go, they can't take it again.
At least they're taking their advice.
But that's the thing, that we don't even listen to these fucking commercials anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, it was crazy. It blew my mind, dude. It's the only part of capitalism that we accept. Well, that and politicians. We go, this politician might send you to war, you know, but vote this or vote that, whatever. Anyways, I'm stretching. But still, there's nothing else. Like, if we say, well, I don't know, maybe it's not, because we obviously all agree McDonald's kills people, right?
I mean, the argument could be made if you wanted to, you know, A plus B equals C.
But still, that's your choice.
Sure. Well, I mean, some of these, how bad do you really want to cure your ED? Do you really want to take that pill? I mean, it's kind of on the people, too.
Okay, let me ask you, Julian. Sorry. My best friend. Let me ask you something. All right. So, me being a previous drug addict, right?
Sure.
So, like, when a doctor prescribes me painkillers, I dance around them. I do everything I can do to not fuck with them because of my prior knowledge.
Right.
Okay, so when somebody's fucking with McDonald's, hopefully they have enough knowledge to know McDonald's isn't healthy for you.
Right.
But there's a lot, not a lot of, but a group. When I say a lot, a segment, I'm saying a space L-O-T, a segment, a lot of people who take their doctor's words for gospel.
Yeah, that's fair. I verge on that dance. Yeah, sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, shit, you know, and something's wrong with me. I don't know who to turn to. And the doctor's like, do this. All right. Kind of blindly,
And maybe not you, but this person that we're
talking
about is a, you know, a prior addict. And then this doctor prescribes them something that says, if you've had bad experiences, please don't take.
Right.
But they're just like, hey, I listen to my doctor. You know what I thought about? I had this recent thought, and this is venturing. I'm stretching. Will you ride with me?
Yeah. Saddle up, right, partner.
You know, Donald Trump struck me as a person who loves to do drugs, but only does drugs that a doctor would prescribe. So I believed Donald Trump to be on a ton of methamphetamines. I'm pretty sure if you went back into our episodes, like when him and Hillary were on the campaign, I think Hillary passed out. And I think I said back then that Trump is on amphetamines.
I recall you saying that.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I remember there was a picture of him with his little medicine drawer open in the Oval Office. And there was like Sudafed and other shit in there. And I go, hey, dude, those are amphetamines. But I think he only did what was prescribed. I don't think he ever like bought drugs off a fucking guy named Jaime or Hector in East LA, you know?
Oh yeah.
But I think there's a segment of people in America who are down to do drugs as long as it's like prescribed. And I think that's what I was inching at over this past, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of material.
I would agree. And people are more inclined to take drugs and think that it's going to be okay. Like, oh, it's fine. My doctor said it's okay. And not realizing the addictive nature that some of them have.
Right.
And then just falling into the trap of like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I guess I'm addicted now. And not even realizing it. Yeah, it's fair. Totally.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids. Whatever happened to D.A.R.E.? The same program.
It didn't work.
Didn't work.
My generation.
The war on drugs. The drugs won.
Yep. Didn't work.
I think that is hilarious that the drugs won. Whatever happened to the war on drugs. All right.
All right. the amount of effort that it takes. Here, hold on. I'll just read it and then we'll figure it out. Okay. The amount of effort it takes to like your photo isn't a measurable fraction of the work it took for you bitches to capture it. I didn't redo my like, and y'all took 27 shots before. Okay, so I got what I was saying. Do you got what I was saying?
Kind of.
Okay, social media.
Right.
The amount of work that women put in to put out a nice photo.
Okay, yeah, taking 20 photos for the right one.
Yeah, whatever. Or, you know, not just 24 photos. Maybe it's change the lighting. Maybe it's change the body, position.
Okay. Right.
You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're not considering the lack of the amount of work it takes to like it. I just, on my phone.
Yeah.
Double, just touch twice. Boom, you got your like.
Yep.
That's the most...
horrible return on investment.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You nailed it.
Return on investment is awful. But all that energy into getting the right lighting, the right makeup, the right photo, just so I can tap tap while I'm taking a shit.
And that's a whole culture.
Yeah, and they love that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do all that. I mean, it's everything and anything you got to do for the likes.
I mean, I can't wait. And I'm not saying this like with hateful spirit in my soul. But I can't wait to see what happens to these people. Because that's not a formula for success.
I mean, technically, in some ways it is. If you can get enough likes and you get, you know, the sponsorships and you become, you know, uber successful in that realm, as some influencers, as they're called, have become. But I think it's very slim to none. It's like, you know, becoming a rock star. Like, I'm going to be a rock star. All right. Well, it's fucking slim to none, but best of luck to you.
Even then, other people make you a rock star. Like, yes. You got to have some talent. You got to come with a show. Like, you got to sell tickets. It's just a double tap on my phone.
Yeah, but eyeballs.
Oh, I like your left hit. Whatever.
Eyeballs equal money, man. I disagree.
Yeah.
Eyeballs equal money for ad revenue. Then,
and you know what the fuck we got to start doing, dude?
Take it off my shirt. Take it off. Take it off. Take
Jack
it off.
It off. Jack it off.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you can unlock the secret for social media marketing and do well with it.
Yeah,
there's definitely success and fame and money to be had, no doubt. Can everyone do it? Fuck no. But not everyone can be a rock star either. I see the shade that you're throwing at some of these part-time.
It's not shade, sir.
Oh, it's shade.
It's honesty.
That's some honest shade.
I will not.
I see the point you're trying to articulate, but I think ultimately... I disagree, but for those who don't understand the amount of work that goes into it and investment to potentially become a contender, as we are in the podcast field, we may or may not become successful, and you have to actually put in the work. Just because you have a dope ass show like we do doesn't mean jack shit if you can't get people to listen
Fuego.
To it.
Fuego.
Fuego.
All right, man. I guess I'm rolling on to the next topic. I feel like I'm driving the car this time.
Hey, I like where we're going. It's very scenic.
Yeah, but we might end up in a wreck. Anyways, it's the inevitable. It's coming. We got to talk about it. It's one of the few topics I feel like we're going to unanimously agree on. What? But Ukraine invaded Russia, dude.
Ukraine invaded Russia?
I mean...
At some point, I guess it had to happen.
No, dude, like, if we're telling the truth, right? And this is me being ultimately sarcastic before we dive into something serious. I've never heard of a Ukrainian white male order bride. Okay. Now that I got that set aside, let's talk about the seriousness that's happening in Eastern Europe.
Okay, what do you want to talk about? I know what I want to talk about.
Well, you start.
I dislike people that as soon as shit started popping off, they were like, oh, World War III, And then I also don't like the people prior to the invasion just talking about like, Russia don't want none of this. Russia don't want none of this. Come get that smoke. Russia, like, shut the fuck up. You have no idea how sensitive the situation overall is. And how it's such a larger dynamic and larger picture. The
geopolitical consequence is insane.
You can't just be like, oh, fuck Russia. They don't want this smoke. Like, shut the fuck up with that pro-America shit. And just leave it at the door for a quick sec, because the rest of the world is part of this conversation as well. So get off the fucking high horse for one second and consider alternative consequences, number one. And then as soon as shit started popping off, they're like, oh, it's World War III. It's like, whoa, like, hold on. You know, again, shit is popping off. Yes, that doesn't automatically skip to go and collect $200. Like, you got to let the situation play out. We have different players on the board. It just annoys me how quick people wanted to jump to a conclusion, either before the invasion, during the invasion. And even now, they're just like, oh, this is happening. Or, oh, that's going to happen. Or, oh, this means that. It's like, this is a sensitive situation, man. Like, fuck.
Dude, it's when you look at the layers, like, it starts with, in my head, it starts with NATO.
Okay.
Like, we were never supposed to be in Eastern Europe.
Right.
Like, we weren't. And as we picked up nations, like past Turkey.
Yep.
And like, just that's to Russia. They're like, hey, dude,
you're getting too close.
Said, yeah, no, you're building bases here.
You're too close, man.
We definitely tested it.
Yeah.
And then we tell Ukraine, hey, dude, if you denuclearize, we'll have your back. So they do that. And then what I think happened was Russia sent in, you know, like, what did they call them during the riots out here? Like the people who worked for the cops but threw bricks through the windows, like the special agents, like
what?
You know what I mean? I can't remember what they're called, like, but they created trouble.
What?
Agents of chaos or whatever.
Sure.
So I definitely think so. What Russia's perspective is, hey, Ukraine is having drama. There's a civil war in Ukraine, which there kinda is, there kinda isn't.
Yeah, I see.
And we're there to protect our interests. But Ukraine is saying, no, dude, we're having riots. We're having Ukrainian riots. You don't belong here.
Okay.
But what fucked us as Americans is we said we would protect Ukraine. And we're not.
I don't recall that sentiment. So I couldn't speak on whether or not that is accurate to my knowledge.
But regardless, I think what we agree on is that Russia is going to do whatever the fuck it wants is in that small span of territory. Like, it's so there's Russian or Ukrainian boxers and politicians, which are celebrities. And they're like, oh, like, no, we're here with their, and they are. They truly are.
Yeah.
That's commendable.
Yes.
The mayor of Kiev is a Russian. He's a Vitali Klitschko, who's a Russian boxer, like, champion of the world.
Yep.
And he's outside, like, you know, his house with a fucking AK-47. Commendable. You're not gonna win. Commendable. And also, you were celebrated as a Russian champ, and once Putin wins, he's gonna hang you, like, yeah, in a public square.
Right.
These are despicable human beings, dude.
The Russian power people.
Yeah. Yes. He's not gonna be like, oh, you fought for your motherland, let me party. No, he's going to fucking put his head on a stake. That's fine. Whatever. That's cool. It was, like, great of you guys to behave that way. But what I think I'm getting at is that the Western, what do we call it? Western Hemisphere?
No, the West.
NATO. Yeah, the West.
West sword?
I think we antagonized this whole situation.
How so?
Well, again, acquiring countries into NATO and then just not taking them seriously. Like, it's one of these things that where I like, obviously, I mean, we saw the fucking, you know, brain dead orange brain fucking talk about this would never happen when I was president.
Oh, yeah. He tried to get us out of NATO.
No, not well, that's not what I'm talking about. But I think he started this conflict in a way that he knew that the Democrats wouldn't handle it right. So he almost created legacy. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but I don't think so. I mean, he, Putin annexed Crimea in 2014. So this was before Trump.
Wait, what? Say it again?
Said Putin annexed Crimea, which is southern Ukraine, in 2014.
Annexed, yes.
Yeah, 2014. Yeah. That was prior to Trump.
Yes, yes, but I don't think he planned on, like, invading during a Trump residency. Also, by the way, did you hear about who's Justin Timberlake? Did you hear about him?
Well, he's on the Super Bowl halftime again.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
Oh, he took up arms, dude. He's over there down there. He's facilitating protection over there by Crimea River. I got a chance to get one in. Crimea River.
That's funny.
What I think is happening is, I don't think most people realize the geopolitical tension that this is creating. I don't feel like Biden is equipped to handle it, and I don't think his vice president is. And while I'm speaking truthfully, I don't think any of our last six presidents would be able to handle the situation. I think Putin is highly intelligent, but his biggest fault is his ego. I think he's going to make a mistake that's going to cost millions of lives across this country. Not this country, across this world. And I hope that someone rises from, I don't know, dude. I feel ridiculous saying this, but maybe it's an AOC. Somebody just level-headed enough to come up and go, hey, dude, that's their problem, and we just fuck with it enough that it doesn't spread.
Interesting.
Like,
I am processing.
Maybe we tourniquet.
What's a tourniquet?
Yeah, maybe
judges.
Ukraine. Obviously, we're gonna lose Afghanistan. Like, all Syria. Maybe we lose the Middle East.
Okay.
But we just cut our losses. I don't know, in a weird fucking way, dude.
You just want to go.
But we can't be a part of it the way we're acting like we're gonna be a part of it now, because that's. My dad used to tell me stories. My dad was born in 1958. He grew up in the 60s. He grew up during the Cuban Missile Crisis in San Diego, which San Diego is the biggest naval base in America. And they had those commercials where it was just like, it was a cartoon. Oh, my God, if there's a nuclear bomb, doop, 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 get under your desk, put your hands over your head.
Right.
Like, my dad remembers, like, them teaching him that, and he just...
He was like,
he says he was smarter, but I don't think so. I think he fucking would have got under his desk.
Right.
But I think that's where we're headed, dude. Like,
I disagree. I think Biden has done a good enough job, as well as anyone really could have. I mean, with being as...
I agree with that as anyone else, but I don't know.
Well, given the information prior to the invasion, laying out the cards... making an effort to talk to the European Union nations, discussing NATO, and really just, you know, really come to terms.
Do you feel like you're in any danger?
Oh, I feel like I'm always in danger.
No, I mean with this war.
I would feel like it's foolish if you don't feel some sense of uncertainty, and that uncertainty giving you some level of unease.
So, like, I feel like we've always been at war, but I feel like this is the first time in my life where I, like, not here in LA or the West Coast where we live, but I kind of feel like it's the first time, like, oh, this might end up on our dirt. And I mean like the 48 continental. I don't mean Hawaii. Well,
you have to consider, like, think of the wars, quote unquote wars that we've been in since World War II. Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm. So those were all wars that took place, yes, elsewhere, not on the 48.
But Desert Storm, Iraq.
Right. But those wars, if you will, weren't about anything other, from what I feel, anything other than business.
Interests. American interests.
Yes, there was American interests involved.
I agree 1,000,000%.
And I think what feels uneasy about this one is that we didn't start it. Two, we were not involved, but it's so large. It's Russia. It's fucking Russia.
And it's a real world thing.
It's an actual, like, this isn't fucking Afghanistan. Like, where's Afghanistan on the map? No one fucking knows.
It's a fucking power moving.
Right. And I think that is what is making unease more prominent in the sentiment of, like, how do you feel about the war? It's like, it's kind of fucking weird, man.
But my problem is from what I know, and I feel like I know more than most, not you, but more than most, we're involved. We did this, like, fucking with NATO. I to me, this is a NATO thing. But it's NATO going one inch further, one inch further, one inch further. NATO was supposed to be the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, right?
Right.
But then we got Turkey, Syria.
So I could be wrong. So you're saying NATO should have stopped at some point and be like, okay, this is us. We're not taking anyone else.
NATO was supposed to only be America, Canada, Britain. Like, it was only supposed to be the North Atlantic.
Right. So
we kept pushing it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you're saying that it should have stopped at some point.
At some point, correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So currently there's 30 member states of NATO.
I'm not saying it should have stopped. What I'm saying is Russia took offense to it not stopping.
Right.
If it was up to me and we run NATO, maybe the whole world should be NATO. I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. So
here's a question.
NATO inched further than it should have, and it caused a reaction.
So out of the NATO members, I'm looking at a list right now, and it's heavily in Europe.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Do you think that do you think Russia, because NATO is primarily against Russia, do you think that Russia would feel a little bit better about all of the European involvement if the United States was not a member?
Well, okay. No, I don't. All right. Good question.
Do you think the U.S. presence is what ultimately is irritable about NATO to Russia?
I don't think it's U.S. beef, because I think Russia knows it could bomb out everybody who isn't U.S. What I think it is, I think there's three superpowers in this world. China, Russia, and U.S. And I think China and Russia are more likely to be allies, even though through history, they have been fucking enemies.
Sure.
If you go through the past 70,000 years of human existence, China and Russia have never been on the same page up until now.
China and Russia.
But what I will say is it's not a U.S. involvement. I think it's this political, like, warfare. I really do think it's going to be this democracy communism thing, but I'm too stupid to know that democracy and communism don't have to do with, like, classes and racism and all the elements that build that.
Sure.
But for some reason, America is like the shining North Star to democracy, whereas now communism is Russia and China, and they've taken this linear line, and we created NATO to try to keep pressing democracy over the past 30 years. In my life, NATO has been a predominant force. It would be like, I can't even think. There was a country in North Africa that acted up. NATO took care of them in 2 days. Boom, there's British jets, India jets, American jets. They just handled it.
Is that Libya?
But what's up?
Libya?
Maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
But the point is, now there's a formidable force. Like, now NATO can't just send fucking jets and bombs. Now it's just like, oh, shit. This shit's chess now. It's not checkers.
Yeah.
And it makes me nervous, dude. It truly makes me nervous. Like, I'm talking about moving to Little Rock, Arkansas in the next month. This is the reason we're doing this podcast over Messenger. Sorry if it doesn't sound good to the fans. But I feel safer moving to Little Rock, Arkansas, except for one thing.
It's Little Rock.
Today we were driving home, and I go, hey, in Riverside, we're far enough from L.A. Like, if they dropped a nuke, not that that's what's going to happen. Just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
We're 100 miles away. We're not. We're 60 miles away. A nuke can't affect us. But nobody targets Arkansas, right? Nobody would fuck with Arkansas. Here's the thing. Arkansas is the biggest Air Force base on the continental U.S. Little Rock Air Force Base. And as I'm saying that out loud, as I'm telling the woman who's going to leave with me, who I'm not prepared to expose yet, as I'm saying this, I go, oh, you have no clue that the biggest Air Force base we're going to be down the street from. But why would they bomb Little Rock, Arkansas? And I just go, I realize this whole country's a fucking target, dude.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, looking at NATO and looking at Russia and looking at the situation unfolding, I try to take it in stride. I have a high amount of confidence in one, America for one, fucking, you know, born here, lived here, know a lot about our country and very proud of our country. And I feel very confident in the defense systems, the ones we know about and the ones we don't know about. I feel good about that. I have faith in the safety of
our homeland. American.
We're American. I feel pretty good about that. Now,
that's, you know what really pissed me off?
What's that?
If Biden goes down, in some weird way, he goes down as cool as JFK.
Why would that bug you?
And I would just realize, like, oh, the JFK shit was bullshit.
Why does that bug you?
Because JFK is like an American fucking, he was a Catholic, which, I don't know why that matters to me, because I'm Catholic, but I don't believe in God, but it does. But he was like a Catholic Democrat, a working class hero.
Biden's Catholic.
He rose. He used the mob. Like, he seized the Carpe Diem presidency. He did it. And he ended up in the same position that Biden is in now. Yo, like, Biden and JFK are literally parallel trajectories right now. And I would not be happy if Biden ended up a fucking JFK type hero.
Hey, if he earned it,
as of right
I'm
now.
With it. I'm with it. If he as earns of
right
it.
Now. If he did something dope tomorrow, my hat's off to you. Absolutely, yeah. Salute.
Sure.
But as of right now, you're not JFK, bro.
Okay. I mean, not sure where that came from, but sure.
Oh, I actually sent you a text the other day where I said, like, yeah, I'm not either. I sent you a text the other day about if, like, do you think Biden's considering faking his death to get out of this?
Oh, yeah, I've already seen that.
So maybe that's where I meant, you know, that maybe that's where that stretch was from.
You know, but I think, I mean, I don't know where the Biden hate's coming from right now, but, you know, for me, I'm not saying he's done a fantastic job or like, hell yeah, this is A-okay, A+. But again, given the situation, I feel much safer knowing that Biden's in the chair, not Trump. I feel better that,
yeah,
you know.
So?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel way better knowing that Biden's in the chair instead of Trump. But then again, you know,
well, I don't,
in this situation, I don't know if Russian aggression would have transpired the same way. I don't know if it would have transpired the same way if Trump was in office.
I agree.
I don't know. But as it is right now with the amount of decisions that need to be made, I feel better that Biden is in the chair.
Let's play a game.
Want to play a game? Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Let's play a game, dude. Me and you, dude, right now, let's play a game.
Yeah.
I think all of our listeners know my reaction. Pretend. Fuck all the extenuating circumstances.
Okay.
You're just birthed into being, not even President, Caesar of America.
Sure.
All right? In this moment, what do you do?
Okay,
what do you call him?
Do I call
this exact moment? This moment, you had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You're just born into it. You're literally today, they invaded Ukraine. There's like a lot of Ukrainian support, but also Ukrainians might have been shithead. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Born right here in this moment. You're president of America. Not president. You're Caesar.
Right. Okay, what would I do?
Yeah.
I always believe in dialogue. So you know, I call up Putin like, yo, bro, what the deuce? And he would just be like, oh, we're coming back from, you know, original Russian territory. I'm coming for that shit. It's like, nah, man, that shit was old. That's thousands of years ago or whatever the fuck it is. We moved on. Ukraine, they're sovereign. What, move on, bro. Like, you don't need to go and rehash the past and rebuild your nation that once was. It's not, man. It's not. Let it go. Why don't you focus on the huge landmass that you already do have and go from there?
All right. I had an idea. I didn't have it while I proposed it. I had it while you were talking.
Got it.
So this dude is egotistical beyond existence.
Yes.
I know that he like plays hockey games.
Yeah.
And his hockey team will win like 19-1.
Yeah.
But I also know he's like 70.
Sure.
So I think my angle would be, hey, dude, let's fight. Which I could totally lose.
Sure.
Your angle is more safe. But I could totally, but I would say, hey dude, how about you and I fight? And if you win, you get Ukraine. If I win, it's all of us against China. We just all go to the next day we invade China.
I'm like, not sure how China would respond to that. Wager.
There was this real debate in the 60s about nuking China.
China. And do we get a choice? No.
There were two generals who said, hey, we'll never have to compete with them economically again if we just drop these two bombs. And there were two generals who go, you can't do that. But I just feel like if I but also I think Putin could probably fuck me up, dude. He might whoop my ass. But I'd be down to like risk it for the, you know, take one for the team.
For the greater good?
Yeah, for the greater good.
I think I could take Putin.
Dude, you totally could.
I've been working out, bro. I feel like, you know,
fuck all that, dude. I know you could. He has no realization of who he is because they all dance around him.
Yeah, it's true.
It's disgusting, dude. It's gross, dude.
How would you feel if everyone danced around you? Like, hey, man, emotion the greatest of all
around
time.
Around you?
No, around you. I wouldn't
around
like,
me?
Yeah, I wouldn't like it.
I have you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. I gas you up all the time, bro. You're the greatest.
Yeah, you would grab me by the collar and be like, hey, stupid. Yeah, no, and I wouldn't allow anybody to. Yeah, no, dude. No, I have. That's the problem with Kanye West. Are you ready to stretch?
Hey, no, that's not stretching. That's not stretching at all.
No, they have yes men.
Yep.
No, yes. I got real niggas.
Oh, Joe Rogan can be upset with that. You can't.
Oh, my God. No, I got people who will stop me. Yeah, no, you can't fucking act like that, dude.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch at all.
No. We call that armchair activism.
Armchair activism.
Yeah, motherfuckers who try to correct people from their computer lab seat.
Kanye and Putin?
No, no. Well, yeah. Well, Putin for sure. They got like a heavy internet presence.
Yeah, Putin on Twitter. I can see that.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about that is even that on the flip side, people talk about they stand with the Ukraine.
Right.
How much do you stand?
Enough to not actually get on the plane.
To log out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because Putin doesn't fucking follow you on IG, dude.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about your support.
Nope, not at all. Actually, on top of that, if I could double down, no world leader. will check your IG as an armchair activist. Oh my God, Hillary doesn't like that? What do we do now?
Yeah, I think it's one of those like influencer things where you want to, you have the intent of making a stand and standing for something and having the belief that your stance makes a difference. Now, collectively, yes, yes. I think in the same way that a protester realizes that if I go protest and stand amongst the crowd and protest, then collectively, yes, we are making a difference. We are contributing to the betterment of humanity. But if you believe that your singular stance will change the world because you posted it on fucking Instagram, then you are full of shit.
Well, with that perspective, the victim, the person on the floor in, you know, fucking Ukraine.
Right.
You think they're scrolling through social media looking up Caitlyn's post?
Well, yes.
Like, oh, my fucking, I need your thoughts and prayers.
You're right. You're completely right. But at the same time, there is a sense of encouragement knowing that you can log on, probably not doing it in a fucking war zone, but you're not caring what Kendall Jenner says, but you are caring that you see a tidal wave of support from around the world. That is nice.
Here's my thing. What I mean is that when I say I stand with people, I actually stand with them. And when they fall, I fall.
Right.
So like if I'm saying, hey, dude, I run with these people, I'm going to run with them. I'm not going to do this armchair activism where it's just like, oh, Ukraine's conquered. I'm on to the next fucking thing. It's me, Hillary. Right. Like, no, I'm not. And by the way, I'm changing Karen to Hillary.
Okay, cool.
I don't know why, but I just feel better about it.
All right.
But I think, do you think this Russian invasion is worse than the British invasion of the 80s? That was a joke.
Oh, like the.
Sorry. It was a bad one.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Colin Epp, what are we at? What are we at for time?
47.
Fuck. All right. I got 13 more minutes. I don't.
Okay. Colin Epp, do the
closure. You know what? Do the closure.
Oh, man. That was funny. I don't actually have any, you know what? So anyways, as always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. It's cheaper than your local vending machine at work. And lastly, don't forget, there is power in numbers, and we together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity, just like those who are supporting Ukraine. Whether you do it on Instagram or through dialogue and conversation, as long as you are making your voice heard in a constructive manner towards the betterment of humanity, thank you. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion coming to you straight from the fucking space station near the moon. We'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast. That's the fucking wrong show. That's the other show. My bad. I switched the fucking drops. Fucking whoops.
Fancy, let's go. All right, my brother.
All right, man.
I hope it works. I love you.
Yeah, I think so. I'll post it up. I think it was a good show anyways.
All right, brother.
All right, later.